The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Brings me to the topic today. On Sunday, I was here, and a Sangha member asked me about the kids program, because I teach the Dharma Sprouts, the K through second graders. And he said, how do you teach mindfulness to kids? And what do you teach? And the first thing that came to my mind was making friends with your emotions, right? Because so many of us come here to this practice as adults, and what is most troubling, what causes a lot of suffering, is all these emotions that feel like too much to deal with. And, you know, we might have spent decades of various strategies to avoid feeling these feelings. We might just ignore them, pretend they're not there, say, oh, I'm okay. We might fight with them. You know, I don't like you, get away. And we can make them bad and exile them into these dungeons of our subconscious. So we come by this probably for very good reasons. As we were growing up, maybe our caregivers didn't know how to deal with their emotions. And we might have heard things like, stop that. Go to your room. You know, boys don't cry. Did anybody hear anything like that? Any kind of, you know, like what? What did you typically hear?
Stop crying.
Stop crying. Yeah. I'll give you something to cry about. Yeah, so like how many people here were actually taught how to comfort themselves and have compassion for their feelings? Go ahead, raise your hand. Okay, no one's raising your hand. So yeah, so this is how we've been acculturated, right? To have an antagonistic feeling towards our emotions. But humans are social creatures. You know, we are really designed, we are hardwired to go to caregivers, go to others when we feel dysregulated, to co-regulate with each other when we have especially fear and sadness and anger. And what is most helpful is to hear the calm voice, to have some gentle, safe touch. You know, maybe a pat on the back or a hug or something. And when we don't get this, especially when we're little and we have these big emotions, they feel very traumatic things could happen to us. You know, we might even be yelled at or even hit for having these feelings. And so we learn to stuff them down. I don't know about you, but when I first started coming to this practice, I realized there was like this pressurized container in my chest, and it had a really tight lid on it. And every time I had a really strong emotion, I just shove it in there and I screw the lid on really tight and just try to bury it, thinking it would go away, but they don't. They just stay trapped in there. And every once in a while, when you open the lid to put something else in there, something will just spill out, you know, like a jack-in-the-box, right? If you have one of those toys when you were little, it just like it gets coiled up and then eventually there's so much tension and pressure, it'll just come out. So we might feel this antagonism towards emotions, like, oh, just go away. But as Thich Nhat Hanh pointed out, that when we run away from our emotions, no one is there to take care of the painful feeling. Just like when we were little, right? Go to your room. This emotion is not acceptable. You're not acceptable having it. And we're told to stop it. So we go try to deal with the emotions ourselves, and nobody tells us how. So I want to share with you, in the kids program, one of the things we do is we try to help the kids deal with anger. And so we read this book, On's Anger. And as you can see, here's On, and here's his anger. He's like this red, fuzzy monster with fangs, kind of scary looking. And so On ends up knocking over his blocks, gets sent to his room with his anger, and he ends up like making friends with his anger. Like, who are you? And they have a conversation, and they end up dancing around the room together. So then we have the kids make a little puppet just out of a paper bag. And we say, okay, maybe not at the very height of the anger, maybe when it's a little toned down. Yeah, you know, why don't you talk to your anger? Say, hey, how are you feeling? And the anger can express, oh, yeah, I'm really angry. I want to yell. I want to throw something, whatever. And then after that gets out, then the child will say, what do you need right now, to the anger? And the anger might say, I need a hug, or I need a cookie, or I need to lie down and take a nap or something. So this is the first way, the very first step of dealing with our emotions, where we create a space between our awareness and the emotion itself. We are no longer, as we say, identified with it. We're not completely blended with it. So we create that space, and then we begin to like name it. What is this? Oh, it's anger. Usually we have like five emotions, right? We know the names of them, but there are so many and they're all so subtle. So sometimes we think we're angry, and then when you start checking it out, you go, oh, God, I'm really disappointed. You know what? I'm really sad. Right, so you really dial it in, you begin to notice what it is. So you name it. Now, one caveat about naming emotions, though, is that just saying the name can sometimes magnify them, and that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to find some neutral way of acknowledging them. I see you, right? And so, for instance, if I'm afraid and I said, I am afraid, just saying afraid makes me feel more afraid. The word fear itself, if I say that fear, what happens? Do you guys have a reaction? Anybody having a reaction just to that word? Yeah. So that's not helpful in naming our emotions, and we're trying to label them in our practice. So notice the impact in your body and find something that feels more neutral. So for me, I might say, there's unease here. Yeah, unease. And it doesn't magnify the emotion. It names it, acknowledges it. And even better yet, you might even just see what it feels like in your body. So if I say to myself, ooh, well, see, listen, when did I say, ooh, there's already that reactivity there, like noticing that. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling judgmental about that emotion. It feels like jello in my belly, kind of jiggly and wiggly, right? It's being afraid. Jello in my belly. That actually doesn't magnify the emotion. It acknowledges how it's feeling in my body. So we also don't want to identify with it. Like, listen to the language that we're using. I am afraid, right? As though your whole being is that emotion. But if we can create that space and we can say, oh, actually, there is fear here, and find it in the body. Where is it? You know, close your eyes and check in and see if there's someplace where that emotion is really being most strongly held. So for me, fear is here in my solar plexus. And so I'll notice where it is. And I will then begin to just get, see if I can get a little closer to it with my awareness. Right? I don't want to dive right straight into the emotion and get overwhelmed by it, but can I just kind of get closer to the edges? See how close I can get to it. Maybe you get a little close and you go, oh, I want to back up. No, that's too close. I want to pull back with my awareness. And so just find the comfortable space. Maybe it's a few inches, a few feet away from that emotion, right? So that you can just be with it. And then you might find that placing hand there as comforting and soothing. And maybe some words of comfort. What would you say to a friend or a child who is feeling this way? You know, can you say that to yourself? Hey, it's okay. I'm here. And then just allowing it to be there. So I would like to just do a couple minutes of practice with this. And so if you want to, I invite you just to close your eyes or have a soft downward gaze. And at any time during this practice, if you feel like you're getting overwhelmed by an emotion, then open your eyes, look around, take a deeper breath, right? Just create some more space in there. So just bring to mind something that is just mildly causes a little bit of emotion in you when you think of it. Do you have a little bit of a feeling that arises? Not the major thing that you're dealing with right now. And see if you can give it a name. What is this? Being mindful of how that word lands in your body, what kind of impact it has. Is it actually making that emotion magnify and feel worse? If so, find something more neutral. Or even just describe the sensation. And then repeating the name of the emotion to yourself in a gentle, understanding voice, just validating it. Oh, this is sadness or unease or disappointment, whatever it is, just gently saying to yourself, ah, this is what this is. And then expanding your awareness to your body. And just kind of scanning your body, you might start from your head, go down to your toes, and see where does this emotion reside in your body? Maybe more than one place. If so, find the place where it feels strongest. And just incline your mind to that place. Just getting close enough that it doesn't feel like you're getting too overwhelmed. If so, just kind of back up your awareness a little. Get a little farther away. Just softening around the edges. Just kind of like, see if you could relax the muscles around this spot. Just like you're kind of immersing yourself in a warm bath and the muscles are starting to relax. And then just soothing. So if you like placing a hand over that part of your body or just imagining doing that, sending some kindness into this part of you, this feeling, soothing. And are there some comforting words that might be helpful to hear? Like, it's okay. It's okay for you to be here. Like, I care. I'm here. And maybe that's as much as you can do, and you can say to the emotion, you know what? I'm not abandoning you, but right now, I'm just gonna kind of pull back a little, and I'll come back and see you again, right? And I'm not gonna abandon you. And then just allowing that feeling to be there, no need to make it go away, just see if you can just hang out with it. Just continuing to soften around the edges, soothing with your touch and kind words and allowing. Softening, soothing, and allowing. Just see what happens. The emotion might change. But we don't need to make a change, right? We can just let it be there and make friends, or at least have some more acceptance. So I'm going to read a poem to you called Self-Compassion by Rosemary Wattola Traumer, who lost her teen son to suicide and shortly after her father. It's like the scent of rain after a month of drought, the way it raises up and fills the lungs and quiets the body and softens the mind. That's what it's like when, after grasping and spinning and reaching and clenching at last, exhausted with my own fear, I lay my hand on my own heart and see through my thoughts and practice loving what is here beneath my palm. This frightened woman and the life that lives through her, not a single promise that she will be safe, but oh, as I press my hand into the beat of her anxious heart, I promise she will be loved. So taking a deeper breath in and out and opening our eyes, coming back to the room, and just feeling the sense of a connection with these feelings who also need some care and attention and acceptance. And just doing this a little bit at a time, gently, with a lot of compassion. So I hope this has been helpful, and may the benefit of this practice bring some peace and more ease, and may that ripple out from you to everyone you connect with. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice.